Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
I often find myself yelling at and blowing up on my kids. This usually happens when they do something I just don't like, or they do something that annoys me. At other times, I'm overly stern and demanding. I'm assuming this is a pride issue on my part. What can I do to overcome this?
This is a great question. I love it. Because as an elder at Providence, I hear regularly from parents about their own need for greater patience with their kids, particularly parents of small children. So many, many people are going to identify with this question. I certainly can. So I'm really glad that we got this one. This should be helpful.
Yeah, let's start by saying attack the problem at the level of your worship.
That may sound a little odd at the level of your worship. Let me explain what we mean by that. This is almost certainly a worship problem. Every behavior problem, it has a worship problem at its roots. There's a saying in the biblical counseling world, I do what I do because I want what I want. I would add to that, I want what I want because I love what I love, or I want what I want because I worship what I worship. And if you want a biblical justification for that connection, I would commend to you Romans 1:18 and following. We are worshiping beings at our foundation. And because of the fall, we naturally reject the one true God in favor of created things. We worship other things just naturally. Now we won't take the time to trace that whole passage, but worship drives our wants, which drive our actions, and you can actually see that there in Romans chapter 1. Now, it would be possible for us here on this episode to just give some tips for changing behavior. Here's how to not blow up. Here's how to substitute a different behavior in that moment. But the Lord isn't just interested in our behavior. That should be obvious from the things that the Lord Jesus taught and from the things that we see in the epistles. The Lord wants our heart, and this questioner seems to get that. She mentions the possibility that pride is at the heart of this, and that's really good. Seems like there's been some good introspection going on. So we want to get to the heart of the issue. There's actually something a little deeper than pride, and that is worship. At Providence, we've talked quite a bit about the biblical concept of putting off and putting on. The Bible doesn't just tell us to stop doing sinful things or to get rid of sinful attitudes or get rid of idolatrous worship, but it tells us what godly things to put in place of those sinful things. And in the Bible, those things tend to come in pairs. So the Bible will tell us, stop doing this and start doing this. Put this off and put this on in its place. And we want to do that on the level of our worship. So we want to put off false worship. So we need to know what is the idol or the object of false worship that's driving this sinful behavior. Now, to get at that, you can ask yourself, when I'm yelling at my kids, what am I wanting? What thoughts are going through my mind? That can be a trail that will lead you to the thing that you're worshiping. Now, when my kids were small, I typically lost my patience around bedtime, and I asked myself this question, you know, what am I wanting? What am I thinking when I'm tempted to lose it with my kids? And after the kids were in bed, for me, the thing that I was wanting is that I wanted to be alone with their mom. So after the kids were in bed, Shelby and I, we would go down to the basement, watch a movie or talk. We would just unwind. And I eventually discerned that what I was worshiping was the idol of leisure or entertainment. And it was a god to me. And I would characterize it as a god because I was willing to sin in order to get it. I was willing to sin if I didn't get it. That means it's more important to me than the Lord Jesus. If I'm willing to sin in order to get something, then it's more important to me than the Lord. Now, that was the thing for me. I wanted leisure. I wanted entertainment. I wanted alone time with my wife. those are not inherently sinful things. But when they become more important than the Lord, and I'm willing to sin to get them, well, then they can be characterized as an idol. Now, it'll likely be something different for everybody who has this same behavioral problem. It could be the same thing, but you need to find out what it is for you. When you find it, when you find out what that idol is, the next thing to do is to look for scripture that addresses either idolatry in general or that particular idol that is your issue. So in my case, there's nothing inherently sinful about leisure, so I grabbed some scriptures that dealt with idolatry in general or that were helpful to me in a broader sense. One that I used was 1 Corinthians 6:12, which reads, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything." So leisure, entertainment, that's something that is fine for me to enjoy. It's not fine for me to be dominated by it. So I memorized that scripture and used it as part of my arsenal to deal with this false worship. You may be able to find something that's actually specific to your idol, some scripture that's specific to the thing that you're worshiping. Once you find that, find multiple scriptures, memorize them, review them regularly, praying that the Lord would work those truths into your heart to help you put off worshiping that thing, okay? So that's the putting off on the level of worship. We want to recognize what we're worshiping and work to put it away. But we also need to work to grow in our worship of the Lord Jesus. And the way to do that is regularly saturating our minds with the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5 ties the work of Christ in the gospel to our apprehension of his love, our understanding of his love, which helps to guide our actions. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 reads, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The love of God in Christ in that verse is astounding, and it's worth spending much time meditating on. When we have apprehended the love of Christ, Paul makes some deductions from that, okay? And listen to this. This is also in 2 Corinthians 5. This is verses 14 and 15. "For the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." A heart that's filled with the wonder of the love of Christ is controlled by Christ and desires to live for Christ. Okay, so meditating on the gospel is going to fill our hearts with an understanding of the love of Christ. It's going to help us to grow in affection for the Lord, and it's going to lead us to a heart that says what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:9, which is, "Whether at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." Okay? So you can see how the meditation on the gospel, gospel truth, leads to gospel desires, which leads to gospel action or behavior. So it's crucial to dwell on the love of Christ in the gospel. It's going to fuel our worship for him and our desire to please him. A great tool for doing that, for meditating on the gospel, in addition to meditating on the scriptures, is a little book called The Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent. It's just a little book, maybe 100 pages. But you can read a section of that a day and meditate on a portion of the gospel, and it's just a great way to start your day. You can grab it in the middle of the day and refresh your mind with gospel truth. So we want to deal with the heart, recognize what idol is hijacking our worship, reject that idol, and grow in our worship of the Lord. So we're putting off and we're putting on the level of worship. I would recommend memorizing each of those verses that I mentioned from 2 Corinthians 5, which was verse 9, verses 14 and 15, verse 21. You could also add verse 17, which is, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." All of these things will help to grow in your affection and worship of Christ and to put off that old idol.
Yeah, so that's attacking the problem at the level of worship. We also should attack the problem at the level of behavior.
Right. So we're going for the root. We also want to go for the fruit, okay? So we're putting off and putting on in the realm of our worship. We also want to do that in the realm of our behavior, because the Bible gives instruction on both. The Bible doesn't just address our worship, but it also addresses our behavior. A key thing that you'll want to know about your own situation is when you tend to be tempted to blow up. There's usually going to be a pattern. So think through your usual schedule. In fact, I would recommend keeping a journal for a week and write down those times when you're tempted to lose it with your kids. When are those times when you lose your patience? For me, it was usually bedtime or whenever we needed to get out the door to go somewhere. It could be completely different for you, but you need to figure that out so that you can be prepared for those pressure cooker moments. Now, how do we prepare for those moments? We prepare for them by arming ourselves again with Scripture. So we've armed ourselves with Scripture regarding our worship. We also want to do that. We also want to arm ourselves with Scripture regarding the associated behaviors and the associated heart attitudes, okay? Both the sinful ones that need to be removed and the godly ones that we want to replace them with. A lot of passages are going to contain both the ungodly behavior and attitude and the godly behavior and attitude with which we could replace them. So in this situation, you will want to look for scriptures that address anger and that address patience and kindness. Here are a few. James 1:19-20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger or patient quiets contention. Another would be Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. The person who asked this question addressed pride as an issue. That absolutely is most likely at the heart of this as well, as a heart attitude. So we would want to grab some scriptures that address pride and humility. Here are a couple. 1 Peter 5:5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We could also use Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. The behavior that we're talking about here involves speech, so we could find scriptures that involve godly and ungodly use of the tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That is, talk that tears down. Let none of that come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. There's also that longer passage in James 3 about the tongue, about it being a flame that sets the whole world on fire. That whole passage would be worth memorizing. So I would say grab those passages. And because you will have identified when those typical pressure cooker times of the day are, you can prepare for those by, just prior to those times, first of all, praying. You could express to the Lord that you want to honor Him and love your children well. You want to worship Him alone. Ask for His grace, which is sufficient in your weakness. So first of all, pray in preparation for that pressure cooker time. Second, review these scriptures that you found. I would highly recommend memorizing all these scriptures, but you could also keep them on your phone and review them visually. But work to commit them to memory. Review those scriptures and commit yourself to obeying them. Then third, decide how you're going to act in the moment of temptation. How are you going to act in order to serve the Lord and love your kids well? And just say to yourself, here's what I'm going to do when temptation comes. By God's grace, I will, and you fill in the blank. Now, you will likely fail at some point because you have an ungodly habit that's developed. But the good news is that in Christ there is forgiveness for sin. And a way of overcoming ungodly sinful habits is to immediately repent and seek forgiveness when you recognize that you've sinned. So if you do, in spite of this preparation, if you do sin, you yell at your kids, you blow up, immediately repent and seek the forgiveness of the Lord and your children immediately. And what you'll see happening is that you will begin to recognize temptation earlier and earlier. Sometimes these ungodly habits, they're so ingrained in us, we don't even recognize the temptation until we've already given into it. It's such a habit that the first inclination that we have that, oh, this is sin, is because we feel the guilt that we've given into it. But the quicker that we repent in forgiveness, that warning sign moves earlier and earlier in the process to where it's before you sin and you're warned about it. You begin to see a shift in your habit because of just the natural reforming of the mind that happens when we repent and seek forgiveness. So that's a crucial part, is seeking forgiveness every time, every single time that you give in. These are the things that I would counsel somebody to do. These are things that I did back in the day that were helpful to me, and Lord willing, they'll be helpful to you.
Yeah, and this seems to be something that's helpful even in other areas of life as well. So
absolutely, it's applicable to just about any sinful habit. Yeah,
amen. So if you find this helpful, even if you don't have kids, please share it.
Absolutely,
certainly other people will find these principles helpful. Till next time.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.